Welcome to Day Zero Update for January 5th, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Sologi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Danra Victorio.
Yeah, we are finally here for a new year, but not really much in the way of news.
Yep.
I imagine most studios and whatnot are still on vacation. If they are on vacation at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's still the week of New Year's, but yeah. We still have a few things here, a couple of things, some mostly good news.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one sad bit of news, but other than that, we'll be talking about the winter 2025 release schedule.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been able to find. We'll get to that here at the end of the show, but yeah, we'll talk about what we've been playing and what we've been doing in the break, and yeah, let's see here. I'll start off. I've been playing some Withering Waves, the new Genshin Impact clone that is on PlayStation 5. I forget what studio it is, but so far this has been the most Genshin Impact clone of all the Genshin Impact clones I've played.
Oh, yeah.
It has the same kind of style of teams that you swap between on the D-pad, though it's only three instead of four because they use the other... Like it's left on the D-pad is like a wheel that you can swap between all your little gadgets that you have for various things.
Mm-hmm.
You run around, you get your towers that are your fast travel points and fight enemies and do all that kind of stuff. The things that it has that are different, I would say, is the way that when you beat enemies, you get like an echo version of them, and then you can sort of spawn mid-fight to do some attacks for you. I think you just get one per type that you fight, but then you can assign them to people on your team, that kind of stuff. It has all the same kind of upgrade mechanics for leveling up your characters and your weapons and all that kind of stuff, where you sacrifice items to it, whether specific ones for XP or other weapons and whatnot. Very much all the same kind of stuff there. The other thing I've noticed that is different is that in the like menus and such, and I guess maybe in the real world, in the game world too, is that there's boob physics all over this game. You notice that pretty easily once you start going to the gotcha sections of the menu to see like what the characters are giving out, and the ones that are well endowed, they definitely shake around in that menu, and I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think there's a way to turn it off, even though there's an option to turn off like jiggle physics. Maybe that's just for out in the game world versus the rest of it, versus the menu stuff, because it seemed like whatever I tried was still keeping that on for whatever reason. Yeah, not really a ton else. It is very story-heavy up front, whereas I think Genshin Impact was a little bit lighter on that stuff early on, but you get to your first town pretty quickly, and as an anime trope, your character has amnesia, does not remember how they got there, but they start getting flashbacks and visions of things that have happened to them, which you see the start. You're in space and some space lady puts some thing in you and then like sends you through a wormhole that lands you on this planet, and you seem to have some special abilities and are part of this group of people called resonators, which are what the characters you can control. They all have special abilities. You know, some of them are elemental attacks and such, and yeah, they'll tell you when you're looking at their profiles for each of the characters, sort of what special things they have. I don't think it's anything super amazing, but it's a lot of different kinds of elemental attacks and such. There are a variety of weapons from your basic swords to great swords to some cool like gauntlets and guns and some other stuff there. So there's some pretty decent variety there. And yeah, pretty quickly you start getting some nice ways of getting around the environments with a glider pretty quickly. It has the same kind of Breath of the Wild climbing on walls mechanics that the Genshin had, and they also give you a grappling hook, as well as some other stuff. They have random puzzles around. Sometimes you find locked chests. They have like, oh, you got to go find three things to break, and then chest will unlock as a result. That kind of stuff. Story wise, yeah, I'm still working my way through it, but it's a lot of just you've been dealing with this amnesia, and occasionally get glimpses of this stuff that might happen in the future, which leads to a pretty cool fight where you're controlling a character fighting a dragon. Since this is a Chinese game, they have some like your first town is very has a feel of like a Chinese like futuristic kind of city to it, and they make mention of other areas. So I assume you have other cultures in their own zones as you get further into the game and sort of explore more. But yeah, it's got all that same stuff going on. In the same exact same kind of art style, anime art style and all that. So yeah, that is out now on PS5 for people to check out. And yeah, once you get started, you'll really start be able to unlock a bunch of stuff there. And get some pulls pretty quickly. So yeah, that's Withering Waves. Been out on PC and mobile for a while, since at least last year, I think. But yeah, let's see. During the break, I picked up the Madden and college football bundle on PSN while it was on sale for like $60 or so, which was a pretty good price. A little bit less than, or a little bit more than just buying the two separately, and to get some extra stuff with that. So I've been playing some Madden 25. Which seems pretty good. Definitely feels like the more polished of the two in a lot of ways, especially in the control stuff. But I jumped into Madden Ultimate Team because I was like checking out, because most of the bonus stuff you get is for that mode. So I was jumping into that, and reminds me a lot of the reasons I am not a big fan of Ultimate Team, with the extremely slow menus and kind of clunky controls in those menus. A lot of times they try to have some controls for being able to like queue up opening the next pack and that kind of stuff, and sometimes it just breaks or just takes way longer than it should. They seem to be going heavy on the animations, like loading into the packs, opening, and all that kind of stuff. So they got some like winter themed stuff with like ice all over the place, and yeah, that's kind of the weird thing to see like that, especially when it's like multiple times in a row and you can't skip any of these animations really. It just makes it a very kind of tedious experience. Even when they have means for just starting to open up the next thing, it's just kind of pretty poor design, and it's not that much better in College Football 25. But I was surprised to open it up the other day and see a lot of branded ones, particularly one that had Snickers all over it. So it opened up a handful of cards and saw the animation of like a Snickers being split apart a couple of times for those cards. I don't know if they were for like higher tier cards or what, but it was just very silly to be just like, I'm just getting commercials here in Madden Ultimate Team. It's a very kind of weird thing to add to it. But yeah, that's been Madden 25, kind of just playing it a decent bit here. So there's that. And one of the Steam games I've been getting into that I got in the Steam sale is a game called PCG Card Shop Simulator. Sort of the prototypical of these, because there's tons of clones on Steam now, and as well as the consoles and all that. Basically open up your own card shop that primarily sells cards for a brand called, I think, Tetramon. You get a bunch of, or you get a shelf to start, and some basic things you can put down for like a table for players to play against each other. Pretty quickly you can buy a little display that lets you sell individual cards so you can pull cards off your or packs off your shelf to open up and sell those for some extra money. Where I'm at now, I have individual packs, I have boxes of packs, I have D20 dice, I have a bunch of those to sell. You can sell like some weird accessories like card sleeves, but also like deodorant spray. Because sometimes you'll get people coming into your shop that have big green stinky aura around them, which you need to run up with a can of that and spray. Where I'm at, I've purchased a machine that will detect that and spray a bunch of deodorant around it to clean them up, which those are pretty expensive. So mostly I have to pick it up and move it around to where the other person is to get them sprayed down if they're sitting down or hanging out somewhere. Otherwise, I try and keep it up near the desk where I run people up on the register. That kind of stuff. It's very good at what it's doing. It's in early access still, so they're still working on a good bit of stuff. You can set the prices. They tell you like what the market rate is, and so you can go enter whatever you want it to be, or you can even tell it that you want to charge 10% up or down from that, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm still working on upgrading my shop. You can increase the size of your shop, but it's not like a big chunk of the store. It's kind of like a, like if you get, say, one of the walls, you get like an extra 25% of that wall pushed back a little bit. So I guess as I keep upgrading, essentially, like after 4, I would have that wall flush. Whereas right now it's just kind of like a little nook as opened up there. But you have to deal with bills. You can eventually hire people to work at your shop and kind of man the register or restock things as you go. That's about where I'm at to potentially hire somebody, but I'm still trying to be a cheapskate, so I might avoid that for a while. You get different kinds of people doing that stuff with different skills. They'll tell you like, oh, these are faster on the register than restocking, that kind of stuff. And I assume early on you're going to be okay with them doing one thing and you making sure you're ordering resupplies of stuff. And the fun thing is when you order resupplies, they just drop boxes out on the sidewalk, looking like it could be something that's easily stolen, but I don't think they have anything like that in there. So you just run out, grab a box, fill up your shelves. If you empty it out, you just stuff in a trash can and it disappears right outside your shop. I kind of wish you, and they may have this, like some sort of stand for the boxes, just like stuff your extra supplies away for a bit. But maybe that's more of a reason to be a little less purchase happy on that stuff, not buy so much up front. But been enjoying that a lot, and it kind of really made it sense, the campaigns against getting rid of the, or campaigns for getting rid of the penny make a lot more sense now. Running a register is like, really fucking hates having to put out pennies for people, so most of my items are priced either like the quarter prices or as low as like dimes for some of the cards that are real cheap. I'll sell them for a dime, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I played Nine Souls. I actually finished it a few days ago. And that game was really good, incredibly good, I would say. In fact, I honestly, if I had played it earlier, it definitely would have been on my top 10 of this year. But I didn't get to it until fairly recently. So, but yeah, that was like a really good sort of Metroidvania-esque Souls-like game with a really, honestly, very dark and disturbing storyline that is completely it's very dark, but you wouldn't think it would be if you looked at it. At least, you know, if you don't see the beginning cinematic, which is bloody as all hell, but it was an amazing game. Definitely difficult. This game has a lot of little systems in it that always coming up with new ways to trip you up. And being a Souls-like, of course, it's difficult, but it's also, a lot of maze-like places to go to, and there's just so many traps and everything. And overall, it was an amazing game. I really do recommend it. So after that, I've been playing Nioh, which I actually played a bit of Nioh way back when it first came out on the PS3. And it was good, you know, but, you know, it's just, I kind of ran into a wall at some point, so I just sort of moved on to other stuff. I decided to go ahead and give it another shot, and having come off of, you know, playing the Demon Souls remake, this game starting out is deceptively easy. But the sort of the extra mechanics that are, you know, non-traditional to the Souls-like thing sort of come in pretty quickly afterwards. The main difference between, like, say, the other games is that Nioh has this whole system around where it relies around stances. You've got, like, your mid stance, which is, like, your, your default. You've also got the high stance, which is, like, all offense, where you sacrifice defense in order to double your attack power. And then you've got low stance, which is underhanded, and it's high on defense, but your actual attack power is somewhat limited compared to what it would be otherwise. It's also a little bit faster, and the attacks tend to have a slightly wider range, but it's only worth it in some areas. And this is especially becomes an issue when you come up against enemies that are have more armor on them, because they very quickly can take you out. While you can only do so much damage on them in return. But yeah, that game is also, I think, part of also what I love about that game is it was more or less the first Souls-like game to actually have firearms with it. Because since, you know, it's a game that takes place in the latter days of the feudal states, warring states period of Japan, you have access to stuff like the Tanegashima rifle, which was a very early flintlock that a lot of the daimyos in Japan at the time very much took to liking. Overall, I'm reminded, this game is a fantastic Souls-like. Although, I will say that, compared to, some of the later Souls-like games that would come after it, the way that especially the bosses are powered can be a little inconsistent. Because the first, major boss that you fight in that game, and, you know, other than the Executioner, is super powerful, and can basically wipe you out very quickly. But then again, Elden Ring was the exact same way, where you go up against the second boss and he basically just takes you out very quickly. But yes, so I've been playing that. I've also been playing a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima because I wanted to see what that game looks like on my PS5. And yeah, it looks absolutely gorgeous, as you would imagine it was. I mean, it looked amazing on the PS4. PS5... it doesn't even hold a candle. It's like night and day how beautiful that game is. And last but not least, in case anyone can't tell from the audio, I got a new laptop computer for Christmas. It's a Lenovo. It's state of the art, and it has the latest graphics card on it. So my computer no longer runs on a potato, and I can actually play actual games on it. So what I've been doing is I got a copy of Skyrim, and I've been busy modding it. I got Vortex, and I've been trying out a bunch of mods for it. I got the big, like, graphic update mod, and wow, it looks beautiful compared to, you know, the baseline where, let's be honest, you know, that game's over a decade old now, and the character models in that game always looked kind of fugly. Well, not so much anymore. And also just some other stuff, the, like, updating, like, the intelligence of, like, the enemies and the NPCs and stuff. Oh, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. So, yeah, Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, last time we talked was Game of the Year, of course, and around then I was playing stuff, and then after then I went on a little bit of a break for myself, and then after that break I got sick, and I got so sick, like, I didn't want to do anything, I didn't want to eat, and I didn't want to do anything. But I'll just talk about what I played prior to that, since we didn't talk about what we played during that time. I did mention last week that I finished Emiya the Smiling Man, the latest of the Famicom Detective Club series. And yeah, I really, really like this game. The reason why I didn't finish it earlier was because I knew that the game was going to be a little shorter. It was like 6 or 7 hours. And, you know, with how much I travel, I figured that would be my travel game. So, you know, after going back and forth from my place to Orlando, I finally finished it. And yeah, I am like blown away by how good the story was. So again, like, this game is pretty much a visual novel, much in the vein of games like, the Ace Attorney series. And while you do a lot of the same stuff and follow the same menus, it kind of has a different kind of cadence. Like, with the Phoenix Wright games, if you've already done something, there'll already be, UI cues showing you that you've already done that thing. Whereas, with Famicom Detective Club, you don't really see that kind of stuff. And while you can think of it as a weakness, it's sort of like the strategy of how to move forward, because you want to continue to talk to people the same way. You want to be able to ask people the same questions. And if you're noticing that they're saying the same thing and it's obvious, then yeah, you can go ahead and work on another action. So one popular thing that people miss out, or not popular, but one thing that people always miss out on is examining the character you're talking to's face, and to see if they get some sort of reaction, and that sort of like resets the dialogue into something new, and that's something that I really enjoyed. Anyway, I believe as far as the Pantheon goes, this is the third game in the series. We got the first two as a result of a remake a few years ago, and I guess the success of those two led to this. But anyway, like, it's crazy that this even exists, because I think the main writer is one of the main producers of the Metroid series. So it's cool seeing, you know, they want to focus on the narrative for a visual novel versus all of a sudden, like, okay, we're doing this crazy action game in Metroid. But anyway, so the game is about an urban legend called the Smiling Man. And what happens at first is an investigation that happens where there's a boy who's murdered along the side of the road, and you see that he's covered in a paper bag that's smiling. And it's also linked to an urban legend where there's this guy called the Smiling Man who also wears a smiling paper bag, but he also victimizes little girls. And part of that urban legend is if the girl he's victimizing laughs, he goes away, because the reason is he wants to keep people smiling. So if you're not smiling and you're crying, yeah, he's gonna kill you. But the weird thing is, this person who died is a boy, so you don't know if there's actually something connected, not to mention it took place 18 years ago. So this is like one of the first games of the genre, or at least that I've played, where you actually have to look at some research that happened, you know, years and years ago. But the cool thing about all this is you also have to review everything that happened in each chapter. There's about 12 chapters in the game, and the review not only helps you understand the case more, but for me, as someone that, you know, didn't play it all at once, it really allowed me to just go back and really understand what it was I was playing in case I forgot. And the other cool thing is that, you know, if you haven't played it in a long time and you boot the game up, it'll go ahead and just reacquaint you with everything that happened. And I never felt like I was ever lost at any point. Even if I quit in the middle of a chapter or at the start of a chapter, it was all the same, and I never felt like I missed any time. But yeah, the main character you use, the protagonist, is the same one that you've used in previous games. You also have your assistant in Ayumi Tachibana, and you're working for Shunsuke Utsuki, who is the main detective for the detective club. And you know, without saying too much, one cool thing that I really enjoyed about this game was there's a prologue that sort of closes a lot of the loose ends in the story, because you'll find out that, you know, some things aren't what meets the eye, and it essentially feels like a double pack. That prologue didn't have a whole lot to do as far as gameplay goes. In fact, a lot of it is watching a really lengthy and well-done anime scene. And it really made me feel for the way the writing was handled, and I thought it was really well done. Had I beaten this earlier, this might have like reached my top 10, so I definitely wanted to give it its flowers before I, you know, move on to the next thing. As far as other games, I've also been playing Life is Strange Double Exposure. I am on the second chapter of the game, and so far, I'm not really liking it a whole lot. Max, to me, just doesn't seem like the way she was in the original game. And I do know that the voice actress who played her is the same person, but she doesn't sound the same. I don't know if it's just because of, like, you know, it's been a few years since the last game, but I'm not feeling the same sort of connection that I did with her when it was originally released. Another thing that I'm not liking is I feel that the places you explore are a little too big for their own good, and it just makes the game a little longer than what I'd hoped for. I was used to every chapter being like 2 hours, but the first one took me around 3 or 4, and there were still some things I missed. So, Life is Strange has always been about chill times for me, but I just feel like there's just too much to do, and I feel a little overwhelmed by it. As far as the double exposure mechanic, basically what Max can do is jump between parallel worlds, and what she's trying to do is just trying to save her new best friend from dying, because she gets murdered in the first chapter. And yeah, we want to figure out like what happened there, and just see if we can put the clues together. But yeah, that's been it so far. Again, like if you've played Life is Strange game, it's a lot of the same stuff. You're faced with difficult decisions. I think with this one, though, the decisions I'm coming across aren't really impactful. Like, I am easily making them, whereas with the previous games, it's actually, you know, been a question of morals, right? Should I do this or should I do that? And it's the same sort of thing, but I don't really feel compelled to make one choice, or I don't really feel compelled to think that there's a difference between either choice I make. So, I don't know if that's like a fault of the direction or if it's going to lead to something more impactful in the end, but that's just the way I feel for right now. Also on Switch, I'm playing Pine: A Story of Loss. This was the game that was announced during the Wholesome event before the Game Awards, and it's only supposed to be about an hour, but I haven't played it for a lot of my time yet. This game follows this farmer as he's working through his barn and farm, and as he's, you know, doing things like plowing the weeds or growing plants or you know, doing things like mowing the lawn or gardening, he's remembering things about his wife, who, you know, I'm sure is gone. And yeah, they're it's very simple, mundane things. You're doing things like moving the stick from left to right. You're filling a box to make sure everything fits, like, you know, Tetris and things like that. And yeah, so far the game hasn't really spoken to me because it's supposed to be beaten all in one sitting. But it just felt a little boring in that regard. And yeah, I'm probably gonna finish it tonight now that, you know, my health is a lot better than it was a couple days ago. But that's about it for now. I do plan on starting Sonic and Shadow, as well as putting more time into Dragon Quest III. But yeah, that's been about it for me.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. First up, since it is the beginning of January, we have a lineup here for PlayStation Plus Essential members with three new games. And they kind of went a way that I thought would happen at some point here. The first one up for the PS5 is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. With how cheap this game has been of late, usually like 80% off or more in a number of sales. And I think Steam, they had it at like 95% off, so it was like $350 if you wanted to pay that much for it. So yeah, I've been expecting that this would be on a subscription service at some point, and yeah, it'll be available for PS Plus members to check out. And that's a game that is all right. Definitely not really worth the $70, especially at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Been one I've been thinking about getting at some point when it gets under like $10, but this is the next best thing here. So
mm-hmm.
That game's all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one to check out, especially if you got people to play with.
Yep.
Let's see here. For the PS4, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered. Mm. A fantastic arcade racing game from Criterion. Really good game. Well worth checking out if you like your racing games. It's a shame we don't get much of those anymore. Need for Speed Unbound is like 3 years old at this point, so I assume they might have a new one coming out this year or next, so we'll see how that goes. But there you go for that. And the last one for PS5 and PS4, The Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe. This is a fantastic game. Mm. If you like your weird little humorous games, essentially it's about the making of games.
Mm-hmm.
Especially featuring this one here is Stanley is like talking about making games and how you design them and all that kind of stuff, and the choice that players have that conflicts with that, and has a lot of fun moments as you try to break things and see how it reacts, and usually they usually account for all that stuff. So that's one that's worth checking out if you haven't done so far, as the Ultra Deluxe version adds some new content over the base game. So yeah, that is fun. And yeah, the devs of that one have a new game coming out, so we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, pretty decent lineup there.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that is let's see, next up here we got one new game getting dated. Afterlove EP has been awaiting a date at some point, but finally will be coming out February 14th, which makes sense for the sort of narrative that it's about. Yeah, it's about love, loss, and finding your own way forward, as it says here. You're in the shoes of a young musician named Rama who is struggling to move on with the with his career and whatnot. As the as you see at the beginning of the game, his girlfriend Cinta dies, but then she sort of reappears as like a spirit to him. And so you're dealing with the weird stuff that happens as a result of that. So you got a little bit of narrative adventure stuff, date sim, you got some rhythm gameplay with that. I played the demo, and that seems like I think it's going to be a pretty cool game. And yeah, it takes place in Jakarta. So yeah, let's see. It'll be on a PS5, Xbox, Series X and S, Switch, and PC on the 14th. So there you go. That's a cool game to check out.
Oh.
And let's see here. Yeah, we got some good industry news.
Uh-huh.
The Stardew Valley dev Eric Barone, Concerned Ape, announced that they had passed 41 million lifetime sales of the game Stardew Valley. Yeah, mentioning that it's sold over 26 million copies on PC. And is at just under 8 million on Twitch. So I think that leaves about another about 7, 8 million for PS4, Xbox One, and mobile. So that's pretty great for a game that is very much the longtime work of one person. Uh-huh. Making his ideal version of what I forget what's the game that they're aping with that. Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Making his version of that, because Harvest Moon just went off the rails, and technically the rights to the IP changed hands from the developers that were working on that, so they are working on basically the same thing, but under a different name with that kind of stuff. And yeah, Eric Barone decided to make his own, and yeah, it's done incredibly well. 41 million units is a great number there for him. And yeah, he's mentioned how people want him to get working on Haunted Chocolatier, but he keeps having ideas for new updates for Stardew Valley. It keeps interrupting it. And yeah, it's definitely taken a while, but as we've seen with Stardew Valley, that, you know, it'll probably be worth it when it's ready, whenever that is. But yeah, that's some good news there.
Awesome. Yeah, I've played Stardew Valley. That game is actually a lot of fun. Definitely recommend anybody who hasn't played it. It's people sort of say like, yeah, it's like Harvest Moon, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah. I think the one knock is that it doesn't really have a great like compendium of sorts. You kind of really need to have a wiki if you want to at least not waste your time trying to figure out like what everybody likes and where certain materials are at or what time certain kinds of fish show up, all that kind of stuff. But other than that, it's a really fun chill kind of experience that can get more hectic as you get more into min-maxing everything, but it's a really fun game to chill out and play for a few hours every so often. So yeah, there you go for that. But yeah, let's see here. Some weird news. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Balatro having ratings issues. There's another game that's having issues. It's a game called Luck Be a Landlord. It's, I think, on mobile and PC. It's basically kind of a it's like a deck builder, roguelike kind of game, but you know, your main mechanic there is kind of a slot machine. But it seems like the mobile version, at least on Android, Google is trying to slap a gambling label on it, even though the dev and the anybody else that's played it knows that it's not a game about gambling. It's essentially you're trying to pay rent amid and cost of living crisis, that this is sort of the main way that you are collecting things to make money. And yeah, you're not ever really gambling or anything, but I guess because it's a slot machine mechanic, that's enough for Google. It seems like they just keep harassing him every so often about it. As the developer says here, Happy New Year, everyone. Just 3 hours into 2025, I received an email from Google Play support. Following subject line, action required. Your app is not compliant with Google Play policies. Parentheses, Luck Be a Landlord. Nothing has changed with Luck Be a Landlord in the past few months, but for whatever reason, my game contains gambling now. I said it's been an issue before in various other countries,
mm-hmm.
and they've been left with no choice but to accept Google's faulty logic in order to keep it on sale. As it says here, I generally think Luck Be a Landlord deserves the equivalent of an E10 plus rating across all regions, but at this point I've given up. We'll deal with whatever inaccurate rating is slapped on the game. Saying, let's see, I've now filled out the Google Play age rating questionnaire to agree that my game contains gambling. I'm doing this in an attempt to stop my game from being banned globally on Google Play, because every time I've tried to appeal these decisions, I've simply been sent a screenshot of my game and was told this is gambling. So yeah, tough times if your game is kind of tangentially related to gambling, but is not based on any sort of gambling mechanics, as Balatro has shown recently. Although I don't know if there's any games sort of getting away with this stuff. Maybe some of the EA Sports things there and Pokemon TCG Pocket and all that kind of stuff that are about opening up card packs to get you know, players and Pokemon and such for your games. But yeah, not really too surprised for this game, but yeah, definitely feel for them, because I don't think there's any sort of extra money that you have to put into this to pay for the game outside of what you're paying up front. So yeah, it's just another shitty situation. So yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
I just, once again, you know, it's like, is this, it's one of those things where I'm starting to really understand, like, is this shit basically being run by AI? Like, is that what's happening here, that they've got an algorithm going where they're trying to find any sense of something that might look like gambling and then using it as like a...
It's Google, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's Google, so... Because, I mean, Bellatro's had the same crap, and, you know, but they still let, you know, freaking FIFA through, and that game's got more gambling than either of those games combined.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. Like, there is no way to, like, actually benefit from this game, right? We aren't even talking about NFTs or even, like, microtransactions. We're just talking about just games of chance within the game.
Yeah. It's basically a game where you are, essentially spinning a slot machine to gather items for money for your to pay your rent.
Every JRPG has a slot machine in it, so I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. As these sort of gambling restrictions are being enforced on these places, they seem to be applied on a number of games that maybe look like it from a first glance, but once you actually, you know, look at the game and see what it's doing, you're not really actually gambling in them. But that doesn't matter, I guess, to these people. But yeah, I'm guessing the games that do feature that kind of stuff, which on mobile there's tons of gacha games and all that, I'm sure those ones don't suffer as much as these kind of games do. But yeah, there you go. Some rough news, but we do have some good news here. Tango Gameworks finally has been officially reborn as Tango Gameworks Incorporated under Crafton. So they are officially back, as they posted on Twitter. Under their Twitter account. New start. Tango Gameworks Studio has been reborn as Tango Gameworks Inc., proudly joining Crafton. We're excited to continue crafting games that bring joy to players around the world. Thank you for your continued support as we embark on this new journey. And yeah, that is cool to see. Not really much more out of that, but yeah, as far as we know, at least some of the people that were in that studio originally have returned for this, but imagine many of them have not. I don't know if there's any details specific on how many, but I know at least the director for Hi-Fi Rush has returned, at least along with some other people. So that is at least good that some of them managed to come back so they can work on a new Hi-Fi Rush game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is some good news.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And honestly, I'm glad that that studio is still around. I'm glad that that franchise is still alive, because there was a very short amount of time where it was looking like it was going to be dead. And I'm glad it managed to take off and managed to survive. So good.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely a cool move. There's really no negative here. The main thing being, of course, like Krafton being a Chinese company, like they're definitely going to want to see like profit turned. And I don't know if Hi-Fi Rush actually achieved that, but at the same time, like, that was a great game. I loved it. It was in my top 10 last year, and I'd love to see it continue. Mm-hmm. And I'd also want to see like more creative works, and that's something that Krafton does appear to be interested in, and with more, maybe not more acquisitions, but that is something that Krafton wants to do, like build legacy games. So hopefully this can be it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's some good news. Though now It'll probably be at least a few years away before we see anything of note out of them. But yeah, let's get to our last news story of the week, and a sad one. Team 17 co-founder Martin Brown has passed away at age 57. He has spent more than 35 years working in the video game industry, which he co-founded Team 17 in 1990. He helped direct, produce, and create more than 50 video games, including the Worms and Alien Breed series. Since he's left, he formed a consultancy group, has supported a number of studios in the UK there, and he also helped set up Activision's mobile studio, The Blast Furnace, in Leeds in 2012. It's a big figure in the UK scene. I've seen a lot of people posting about their memories of working with him and talking to him and all that. It's a bit of sad news there.
Yeah. Sad.
Worms is a big piece of UK gaming history there. A lot of British flavor when you hear a lot of their little chirps and such during the various games. So yeah, that's a sad one, but left a big legacy in the gaming industry based on all the people that have kind things to say about him.
I resonate with what you guys said, and 57 is just super young.
That dude was an icon on that side of the pond. You know, he did leave a hell of a legacy behind him. It is just sad that he had to go at 57. That is way too young.
If you want to read some of the stories and things that people have wrote for him, there's a bunch in this article here. Check out. I think it's going to do it for the news this week. We do have another section here, as we try to do every few months, sort of talk about what games you can look forward to for the next few months, because the early parts of this year are very busy, as we have noted in the past couple of months as new games get announced. There's a lot here to look at. Let's start digging into this with January. As I mentioned, Withering Waves is out on PS5, came out Thursday, I think, on the 2nd, so you can check that out. But coming up ahead for this week, on the 7th, Ys Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana, the remaster of the PSP game, which was itself a remake of, I think, Ys 3.
Mm-hmm.
People on more recent consoles than the PSP can finally check it out. I think it's been on PC for a while now, but they finally found the console people worthy of having this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it being probably one of the first big Ys games I've seen reviewed pretty well. That seems like one to check out. That'll be out on Tuesday the 7th. Then we got on the 10th, that'll be this Friday, Freedom Wars Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
For PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC. I think that's a theme here. There's a lot of remasters and such.
Oh, yeah.
For this month. Mm-hmm. Pretty decent month to take some of that holiday money you've gotten and put it towards some of these games. Mm. That's it for this week. A little light, but starts picking up next week. On the 16th, we have Blade Chimera for the Switch and PC. That is a Metroidvania that looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna pull up the page for that just so I could double check, but yeah, it is. You're Demon Hunter Shin, with no memories past, you know, very unusual. You work with a demon to fight back and figure out what happened to you and your family. So yeah, has a really nice art style to it and animation. A lot of cool stuff going on there. So yeah, that's one to check out. It has a demo now on Steam, at least. Then there's Donkey Kong Country Returns HD for the Switch. That is, you know, the 3DS game that is finally coming out to the Switch, so that it's the Wii game that finally is coming to a modern platform with some visual upgrades and such. Though I've seen plenty of criticism about some of the changes they've made that maybe don't help it out some, but otherwise it's a pretty solid one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as good as the follow-up they did on the Wii U.
Yeah.
But still a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, on the 17th, that'll be Friday, Dynasty yep. Warriors Origins is out.
Yep.
For PS5, Xbox, and PC. So now you can finally see the origins of the Dynasty Warriors series after 20-some entries. Mm. So there you go. There's a demo out now for that one that you can check out. And another remastered game on the 17th, Tales of Graces F Remastered.
Mm.
That's for everything. PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. As they've announced, they're going to be doing more remasters after this one's out, so get ready for all the weird names that they've had for these games. So get ready for that. Let's see. On the 22nd, that'll be a Wednesday. Ender Magnolia, Bloom in the Mist will be out on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. That's another one of those Metroid Vanias that's a sequel to, I forget what the first game's called, but it's a similar name. I think it's Ender Lilies.
Mm-hmm.
For that. You can check that one out. The sequel for the 23rd. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is coming to PC, so more people can finally check out that one.
Yep.
See how their PC can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that port is any good. That's a way to go. Also on the 23rd, Star Wars Episode I Jedi Power Battles will be out for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC as the latest of the Star Wars remasters.
Yep.
Let's see. Then also for the 23rd, Sin Duality Echo of Ada.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Bandai Namco game.
Mm-hmm.
One of their many ones they've announced that kind of disappeared for a while. I think they had an open beta for it recently, but I don't think I downloaded it, but I probably didn't ever start it. But it looks like it'll be a $40 game. You got mechs you control, so that's kind of neat. With lots of anime stuff going on, so yeah. That one could be neat. It's a PvPvE extraction shooter. So yeah, it's one of those. Then let's see, on the following week, on the 28th, which is a Tuesday, there's Eternal Strands for PS5, Xbox, and PC. This is the game that is the first game from a studio run by, what's his name, former director of the Dragon Age series. Is it Laidlaw? Mark Laidlaw?
Oh.
I think that's his, Yellowbrick Studios. That's his first game out in quite a while. That's cool to see.
Oh.
It's a an action RPG kind of game.
Uh-huh.
With all that kind of stuff going on. So yeah, that is one to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Laidlaw and several other developers from Ubisoft inspired by Shadow of the Colossus, Dragon's Dogma, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom. So, get a lot of that kind of stuff there. So, yeah, that's cool. It looks neat. So not too far, too much further off. Also, is a soundtrack done by Austin Wintory, who's one of the best out there. So, there you go for that. Also, that same day on the 28th, Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter. That is sort of a 2D Souls-like. First one's very good. Been on PlayStation Plus a bit, so that one's worth checking out, the original, if you have not checked it out yet, and maybe see if you're interested in the sequel. And also on the 28th, Retro Fighter 5 Revo. The latest edition of Virtua Fighter 5 being sold yet again.
Mm-hmm.
This time on PC, for PC players to enjoy while they wait for a few more years for 6 to finally come out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then we got a few more games here rounding out the month on the 30th. Phantom Brave, The Lost Hero,
mm-hmm.
Which I believe is another remaster there for PlayStation and Switch. Then we got Sniper Elite Resistance for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, and will also be on Game Pass.
Mm.
So that's another like spin-off of Sniper Elite game from Sniper Elite 5 to check out. It's also the same day that Spider-Man 2 comes to PC, so if you've been waiting for more Spider-Man, that will be out soon enough. And yeah, Citizen Sleeper 2, Starward Vector will be out on the 31st. For PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC, and will also be on Game Pass, like the first game. If you have Game Pass, the first game's still on there. I played a little bit of that. That seems pretty neat. It's kind of a weird kind of like maybe mix of like old school computer RPG with like some dice rolls and such to it. Real weird. Really hard to kind of describe it, but I've been enjoying that as a neat little game that kind of plays around with like your tabletop RPG kind of feeling to it. So, but yeah, that's your January.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff coming out, a lot of remasters and such. But some new stuff in there that looks pretty neat. So anything there that is interesting you, Brandon?
Let's see. Freedom Wars looks interesting. So does Blade Chimera. Maybe Eternal Strands, but as far as January goes, not really.
How about you, Danrib?
Yeah, January is also pretty light to me.
Yeah.
Most of my interest is in remakes. East Memoir, I do not have a review code for, but I'm expecting one, so there's that. Freedom Wars Remastered, I love the original. I never finished it, and I would love to play the remastered one. Donkey Kong Country Returns, same idea. I never finished it. Love to play it again. Tales of Graces F Remastered is probably, in my opinion, the best Tales since Symphonia, at least with the story. Well, not with the story, but with the battle system. I thought they did a lot of great things with that, and it would be cool to see if they did it right, because a lot of the Tales remasters have been really, really bad. Eternal Strands looks really cool. I didn't even hear about that game until today. So while watching this trailer, it makes me interested. So I'll definitely be keeping my eye on that one, but I don't know if it's going to be something I'll want on.
Yeah. So yeah. Let me see. For me, Wuthering Waves, I've been enjoying that. So probably play that for at least a little bit longer. I don't know about much else here. Tales of Iron 2. I need to get back to the first one, kind of play some more of that. See if I want to jump in on 2, but probably check out Sniper Elite and Citizen Sleeper 2, since they're mm-hmm. on Game Pass. That won't be too much of a bother there, but yeah, that's it for January. Might mm-hmm. pick up some of these other things when they're on sale for a bit cheaper, but probably not at launch. But yeah, then there's February, which is also full of a bunch of games, as well as some big hitters here.
Mm-hmm.
First up on February 4th, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 will be out for PS5 and Xbox and PC. They bumped that up a week because they realized that Civilization 7 is coming out when they were originally coming out, and they said, nah, we're going to come out earlier. Give themselves a little bit of room there. Then we got Rift of the Necrodancer for PC, which is a sequel to... what's the name of the first game? No, it's not Rift of the Necrodancer. It's I'll check it out real quick here. Crypt of the Necrodancer, that's right. But this one's taking it a little bit differently in that it's kind of presenting the rhythm gameplay almost on like a Guitar Hero Rock Band style note highway kind of thing as you're tackling enemies that are coming at you. It has a really cool art style to it and all that, so that looks pretty neat. I assume it'll come to the consoles at some point after that, but There's that. Then on the 11th, there's Civilization 7, and that is coming to consoles on launch day for the first time. 6 got ports to the consoles much later with, I think, Switch exclusive at first. So there's that. That'll be nice to see. Everybody be able to get on that. On the 13th, there's Urban Myth Dissolution Center, which has been kind of an interesting indie game that has been hanging around for a while now.
Yeah.
That finally got a date.
Yeah. Did we talk about Kingdom Come Deliverance too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I must have missed it. Yeah. I actually am very much looking forward to that one. Because I really loved the first one. In fact, my review is on the Smashpad website for those of you who want to look for it. I just hope that they kind of streamline the combat a little bit, or have done some work on it, because the combat for that game was had a pretty big difficulty curve if you were learning how to do it. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. But yeah, Urban Myth Dissolution Center.
Yeah, that's one of those mystery adventure games where you're, part of the Urban Myth Dissolution Center, founded to investigate curses, creatures, and anomalies. Take myths apart as Azami Fukurai, under the hypervision of Ayumu Meguria, psychic and center director. So it looks like it's going to be some fun, spooky times and all that. So that's one to check out for those that like their indies. As I mentioned earlier, Afterlove EP is out on the 14th. For PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC, so that's looking neat. That's also, for a Valentine's Day, there's a lot of games coming out that day. There's Assassin's Creed Shadows for PS5, Xbox, and PC. That hopefully adds some stability to Ubisoft's financials, because certainly not been doing well for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They delayed that game specifically to give it some more time and let them keep working on Star Wars for a bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I am kind of looking forward to this one. And I hope it ends up being good and a step up, because, Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Valhalla were both pretty good, but they still, especially with Odyssey, the big issue was the bloat. It had just way too much stuff in it with too little reward. So, yeah, hopefully this game's better.
Yeah.
I want it to be better just to spite all the dickheads who started making a bunch of bullshit about Yasuke.
Yeah. There's also Date Everything, which is on PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC, and that seems like a really cool date sim of sorts, where I believe it started development before the pandemic, but kind of adapted to that as you're kind of locked in your home, and decide to start just dating anthropomorphic versions of your various things in your house. Just sort of become some sort of human form. Even the text box for the gameplay also becomes something you can date. So that seems really cool. Then there's The Legend of Heroes Trails Through Daybreak 2 for PlayStation, Switch, and PC. That is finally out as well.
Yeah.
And then the last one for that day is Tomb Raider 4 through 6 Remastered, which is interesting because that is one of those weird cases of a collection being released for, at least one of those games is kind of, let's say, very bad, if not broken. And it'll be interesting to see sort of what work they have done on that game, which is Tomb Raider Angel of Darkness. Their first PS2 entry that had all sorts of weird ambitions, where they were potentially going to release it as like an episodic game early on, when companies are like, oh, we got internet here, we can just sell chunks of the game every so often and you can buy them and play them as we make them, and it won't take as long. And they didn't do that. They made got the game out, and it seemed like a rushed mess. Mm-hmm. Almost killed the franchise right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just taking a break and switching developers and
mm-hmm.
got back on track. So, yeah, that's a very busy Valentine's Day there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see here. For the 18th, there's Avowed for Xbox and PC, the Obsidian first-person RPG.
Yeah.
Finally gets out.
That's one I've been looking forward to. Yeah, because this is a game takes place in the Pillars of Eternity universe, and it's basically like a, you know, like an Obsidian style RPG, you know, first person RPG that you've come to expect from them, but it's, you know, it takes place in the Pillars of Eternity universe, and it looks great and a lot of fun, so I really want to play it.
Yeah, it looks like a more action-y Skyrim.
Yeah.
But with, like, at least from what I've seen so far, like, less focus on story, though I'm sure there's plenty of that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've just mostly shown combat and such to it, and it's like, to me, it just kind of feels like, what if we made Skyrim without as much story?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it still has story in it, but yeah. Also on the 18th is Lost Records Bloom and Rage Tape 1.
Mm-hmm.
For PS5, Xbox, and PC, it's the newest Don't Nod game. As they are making one of, like, a couple of games that are like, what if we had teenagers doing spooky stuff in the 90s and seeing, like, weird shit happen? There's a few of those games that have been announced, but this one's out on the 18th, so looking forward to that. And then, yeah, on the 20th, Godzilla Voxel Wars for the Switch. This is mm-hmm. a game that's basically Into the Brink, I believe it's called. Into the Breach, sorry. It's basically that, but Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty good idea there that I am looking forward to. See how that goes. It's been out on PC for a while now, so... nice of them to finally get it to a Switch, though I might be more inclined to just wait for it to go on sale again on the PC. But yeah, that's a very, very good idea for a Godzilla game.
Mm-hmm.
Versus typical ways they try to do, like, action games and such that tend to not be very good, because it's really hard to make kaiju games, essentially, where you're directly controlling the monsters versus it being like a strategy thing or a beat 'em up kind of thing. So yeah, there's that. Then the 21st, we got Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC as they finally get the action part of the series back.
Yep.
And going, as it features what's his face? I forget what his name is. The other Yakuza guy. I forget what his name is. But he plays the other guy. He's bumped his head and forgotten who he is, and decides that he's a pirate and decides to go fuck things up in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having fun as you tend to do. Majima. Sorry. Yeah, that looks very weird. I'm curious to see how that one is. That one will not be on Game Pass. But yeah, there's like ship-to-ship combat, brawling, all sorts of weird stuff. Samoa Joe's in it. So yeah, lots of wild stuff going on there.
Oh.
And then yeah, Monster Hunter Wilds is out on the 28th, which is pretty cool. They got an early release again for this, and it's looking really good as they've kind of evolved the game with the technology so that you don't necessarily have to do as much loading in and out of areas and managing your inventory and all that kind of stuff in before you load in. So it kind of makes it a more seamless, like, open experience that looks like it's going to feel like a more cohesive game versus just one that's very, very segmented between your the stuff you're doing at your base and crafting and all that versus going out and fighting all the monsters and all that stuff. So that looks pretty neat. And then the last one I have here was just given a date of February on your tail for the Switch, which got delayed. It was supposed to be out in December. But that one will be out at some point in February. So, yeah, that's your February with a bunch of stuff to check out. So, Brandon, what are the things you're looking to check out here?
Well, like I said, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is definitely high on that list. I loved that first game. Like I said, the one issue I had with it was that the combat can be very... there's definitely a major difficulty curve when it comes to it. I'm hoping that also the other big issue was that as good as that game was, it's also pretty clear that, you know, it was a European RPG, and those tend to have a certain bit of jank that comes with them. And that game definitely had its bit of jank to go with it. But overall, I really enjoyed it, and I'm also really liking what I'm seeing with the previews for the game that's coming out, including the fact that they're, you know, introducing, you know, because this more or less takes place either during or sometime around the era of the Hussite Wars, which means that we have the introduction of black powder weapons into medieval warfare. So that's going to be interesting to see. Also, I mentioned Assassin's Creed Shadows. I am kind of looking forward to that, and I'll probably play it at some point. I just want it to succeed in spite of all the culture war dipshits that latched onto it, because, you know, apparently grifting is just too lucrative of a job to pass up for too many people in this economy. The Legend of Heroes Trails Through Daybreak 2. I mean, that's a given, right? Right, can I get agreement on that one? Because we're all going to be playing that one the moment it comes out on the 14th. That's just a given. I also said Avowed is definitely like one I've been looking forward to for a while. I've played both of the Pillars of Eternity games and loved both of them. And I just love the idea of being able to play like a Outer Worlds style RPG set in that universe. It just looks good. On Your Tail, when that comes out on the Switch, that's a game I've also been kind of looking forward to. As far as like February is, it's kind of packed for me.
All right, how about you, Dan Rupp?
Yeah, total likewise with Brandon there. And it all starts on Valentine's Day, and the rough part with Valentine's Day is, well, I'm not single, so I'm not going to be playing video games that day. And the problem there is we have Afterlove EP. That one looks fun. Assassin's Creed Shadows was one of my most anticipated games of last year that didn't come out, so there's that. Date Everything looks hilarious also. Brandon already talked about Trails Through Daybreak, but hopefully I get a code like 2 weeks beforehand so I can finish it before then. I don't know. Avowed looks awesome. Lost Records also is up my alley. Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza is definitely going to be something I play, especially knowing that we're back in Hawaii. And Goro Majima is obviously like one of the best characters in all of the series. And Monster Hunter Wild, you know, it's that one game that can't go away. But like whenever I look at the new footage for that game, I am amazed about what you're able to do. And I just can't wait to dive in there no matter how much I suck. And On Your Tail looks good too, but I'm probably not going to have time for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, man, the 14th seems like a busy day with like Afterlove EP I'd like to check out, as well as Assassin's Creed. We'll probably check out Avowed on Game Pass. I don't know that I'm all that excited about it, but we'll see. As I said, I'd like to check out Godzilla Vox Wars, but I'm probably more likely to play it on PC where it's been out for a bit, so... I'll just wait for a sale on that, and maybe Monster Hunter Wilds. I don't know. We'll see how the money's going there. But yeah, that would be cool to check out at launch. So let's get to March here, which doesn't have as much, mostly because it's further off and not as many announcements haven't made on that one just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still plenty here. Let's see, on the 4th, there is Two Point Museum. the third game in that series of tycoon games, where you're building a museum this time instead of a school or a hospital, managing all the fun exhibits you have in there and all that. So that one's looking pretty good. That's PS5, Xbox, and PC. There's Fragpunk, the PS5, Xbox, and PC multiplayer shooter. That's, I believe it's the one that has the cards that can kind of like alter the rules in the match a little bit, like give people big heads, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That looks all right. Also on the 6th is Split Fiction, the newest of the Hazelight games for PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one features two characters kind of getting pushed into this weird futuristic machine that allows them to kind of experience their visions of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
He's like two different worlds that these two people are fascinated by, which is the like futuristic sci-fi world as well as like a more medieval kind of world. So they kind of pop back and forth between them as they're trying to get through all the weird shit that's happening and try to hopefully come out on the other side alive. I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but that looks like a neat looking game. And also on the 6th is Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster, 8 Rune and Dunin Unification Wars for everything. So that finally comes out. The long-awaited HD remaster of two of the most like cult hit PS1 RPGs that people love that maybe didn't stick out a ton, but did some really cool stuff by having like 108 people that you could recruit amongst for your party that led to a ton of wild stuff. And is like one of those series that kind of, as they kept making games in it, became less and less good. Just seemed like every sequel after two kind of has its own fans, but a lot of people that like the first two don't always like the other ones as much. So we'll see how that goes for them. Then we got on the 11th, Wanderstop for PS5 and PC. As I mentioned before, the developers of The Stanley Parable have a new game coming out that's called Wanderstop. That also has C418, the composer of Minecraft. You probably know his work there. Is working on music for that game, and that's kind of a really cool looking project, as it's kind of a game where you're kind of working at this like tea shop, essentially. Where, let's say, weird stuff starts happening and kind of undermining the cozy vibes that game has early on, starts changing, and seeing what kind of weird stuff starts happening to that. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Looks pretty neat. Then also on March 18th, Lost Records Bloom and Rage 2, Tape 2 are out. So the second half of that game comes out about a month later for people to finish that up. So there you go for that. Then the 20th, another Nintendo remaster happens. On March 20th, Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition. The long-awaited final Xenoblade game that could be brought to the Switch. The Wii U one that came and went, did okay, but was another one of those games that, like the Wii U, just did not hit the landing as much.
Yeah.
But has some cool stuff, too, where it's like more of an open-world game where you are in control of a flying mech that you can use to get around.
Eventually.
Yeah. I'm sure there's tons of story and intro and all that shit that you have to as all of these games do. So yeah, you'll be able to check that out. That's a game I bought at launch for the Switch and never put in my Wii U. Bought it for the launch on the Wii U and never put it in. So now I can sell it for thousands of dollars now. That's a weird game that came with a USB stick that has the music on it.
Yep.
Not the whole soundtrack, because that would be too generous of Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it does not let you, like, pull it off of there. But it has its own player. So I was like, oh, this is functionally useless. So, yeah. That's on the 25th. Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings game, finally is out. So that's been delayed a couple times. But will finally be out on PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC. The cozy The Lord of the Rings game.
Yep.
Will finally be out as you're playing one of the hobbits. You hang out in the hobbit town and have fun, make food, farm, do whatever. Talk to people, piss them off, whatever you want to do. For that, so there you go. The rest of these are all out on the 27th. There's Adam Fall, which is another game from Rebellion, who makes, you know, the Sniper Elite games. They're putting out two games in about 2 months here.
Yeah, that's pretty on par for them.
Yeah, I don't know that I remember much about what this game is. I think it's a survival game of sorts, but I don't think I've seen that much gameplay for it.
Mm.
Let me see. It's set in an alternate history, 1960s, where the wind-scale nuclear disasters turned much of northern England into a radioactive quarantine zone.
Mm.
Okay. So, basically, what if, let's say, nuclear disaster happened to the UK instead of in Russia and Ukraine?
Yeah. Basically, Stalker, but English.
Yeah. But more of a survival game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Stalker, which is just more of a whatever. It's a lot of scary shit and you have to shoot all of it.
Yeah.
So
and occasionally that scary shit just suddenly starts levitating off the map for no reason.
Yeah. Let's see. It's a survival game, but you only have to manage your health and heart rate. Okay, so yeah, as you fight more, your heart rate goes up, which can lead to darkened vision and muffled hearing. Okay. Mm. That seems all right. That's PS5, Xbox, PC, and will also be on Game Pass. Then another game we've heard about for quite a while, the first Berserker, Kazan, will finally be out for PS5, Xbox, and PC. Mm. That's the game that's in the, I think it's the Dungeon Fight Online franchise.
Yeah.
Which is like an old school, like 2000s era PC MMO that did pretty well, but I don't think has been much of a force since then, but
didn't really have the staying power of WoW.
So I'm sure it's still going in some
form. It's probably got still has something of a following, I'm sure.
Yeah, Dungeon Fighter Online. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's very much like a brawler MMO kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's still online. They probably added a bunch of nonsense to it because that's what you do. Okay, they sell it on. No. It's on Steam for free-to-play, yeah. It's anime as hell now.
Yep.
So this one from 2016, so this might be a newer version, I don't know. But this is set in that same universe, but this game is not like that. It's not Souls-like, but I think it's like a more action RPG, but with some influence from Souls games. But yeah, looks all right, but has been on a bunch of the Keeley shows for the past year or so. So there you go on that. And then we got Gal Guardians, Servants of the Dark. This is a sequel to, I think, Gal Guardians Demon Purge. That was essentially, what if we take the girls from Galgun and put them in a Metroid game? And now I think they've made a sequel to that. That's done well enough, so that is Inti Creates kind of making more of that, which is what they do. They find something that does well enough, and they're like, we'll make 2, 3, 4, 5 more of those, and with spinoffs and all the fan service you want and all that.
Yep.
As I can see here, is a giant dragon lady with big boobs. So, yep. That seems like what you'd expect out of that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's going to be out on the 27th, and then last one here, Hitman World of Assassination is finally going to be available for PSVR 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the ultimate Hitman VR game because it's going to actually be the full game available on VR.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the last one, I forget what it was called, but people were very disappointed on it because it essentially took the art style of that you expect from a Hitman game and made it more like a weird low res version of it, very low res kind of thing mm-hmm. that just kind of ruins a lot of the parts of the game that they like, because it, I think that one was a Quest game, so it had to run on the headset, which those aren't as powerful as the PS5 or the PCs that run the game these days. So luckily this must be a $10 upgrade if you already own the base game. And so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun to have a nice game of just fucking with people in first person as a Agent 47. So yeah, that's going to do it for March. So Brandon, what are you looking forward to in that month?
Let's see. I would say Split Fiction, but that's a co-op game and I don't do co-op. I would say probably Suikoden 1 and 2, definitely. I never got to play those games back when they originally came out for the PlayStation back in the day, and I would love to have a chance to finally play them. Also, definitely Xenoblade Chronicles X. That game, I really liked that game back on the Wii U, but my biggest issue with the Wii U was always that freaking controller. Like, that thing compared to a normal gaming controller, it weighed a ton and it was so bulky, and you know, just honestly, I want to be able to play that game again, but with a controller that's not as problematic. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
How about you, Dan Rib?
March is also a little bit thick here. As soon as Split Fiction was announced, I wanted that game immediately. I love everything that Joseph Ferris has done with that studio so far, and I'm sure that one's going to be just as good. It Takes Two was my game of the year in 2021, so I'm all about that. With Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster, I've never played the original games, so I want to see why people regard them so highly. If Lost Records Tape 1 is good, I'll definitely want to play Tape 2. And then I had a bit of time with Tales of the Shire, and I really enjoyed my time with it, despite me not caring for Lord of the Rings. It was just a really fun, whimsical game. And yeah, that's really about it. But I do see myself, you know, playing games like Monster Hunter Wilds and Pirate Yakuza a little longer, depending on, you know, how long those games are. But yeah, it's already looking like a pretty thick year with these first 3 months.
Yeah. For me, Wonderstop will probably be the big one early on, because I love the people that are working on that. That's seems like it's going to be a really cool, weird game. So that's one I'm curious about checking out. And yeah, maybe Hitman will be probably the other one I'm mainly excited about. But maybe some of the others when they're on sale at some points. I'd like to check out Lost Records, but I'll probably wait for that to go on sale a little bit. So yeah, that's not a ton there, but I'm sure other stuff will get announced before then that will be interesting for me. So yeah, that's looking like a pretty good first few months of the year. With everything that's here. If you want remasters of games, boy, everybody has remasters for you.
Oh, yeah.
Remasters or ports to new consoles, you're going to be able to check out so many games. They're going to look a little bit better than they did before, hopefully. I think that's going to end up doing it for the show this week. Maybe we'll have some news next week. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
I know we have CES coming up here, but there's usually not much in the way of game news there. But yeah, we'll see how that stuff goes. I assume we'll get some Game Pass announcements of things to look forward to. But yeah, that's I'm not really sure what else is going to be happening here unless something wild happens. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. And thank you to Brandon and Danver for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news. And if you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know. They should check out the show and see what new games we're playing and other cool stuff, because it's a new year and new potential for cool stuff to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And probably plenty of layoffs as well. But luckily we've made it one show without layoffs.
Yeah.
As far as the game's part, it feels like, you know, I have a chance to go ahead and start over and start fresh, but I already feel behind.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time and check out our Game of the Year stuff. I like the part of the main Smashpad article I wrote, because I basically did one paragraph as just, here's all of these stories we had about studios getting shut down.
Mm.
It is a very long paragraph.
Yep.
Beyond just the layoffs, a lot of studios shut down. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Check out that and see the games that made our list and check them out if you haven't. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.
Yeah.